All right, if you'll turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 10. We'll read 1 Samuel 10, verse 17 through 22. 1 Samuel 10, 17 through 22. And Samuel called people together unto the Lord of Mizpah, and said unto the children of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel, out of Egypt, and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all kingdoms, and of them that oppressed you. And ye have this day rejected your God, whom himself saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulations. And ye have said unto him, Nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. And when he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was taken, and Saul, the son of Kish, was taken. And when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired of the Lord further, if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, Behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. I want to speak to you this morning. You are hiding among the stuff. Lord, thank you for your blessings here this morning. For every heart that you've touched, Lord, we continue to believe right now that you, God, are going to continue the work that you started. Speak to us today and let your will be done, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. You are hiding among the stuff. All of the people of Israel were gathered together. This was an important occasion, and they had determined that God had set a king over them. And on this day, their king would be chosen from among them. Whose tribe would he be from? Whose family? Some may even have wondered if they would be the one that was chosen. And so Samuel, the prophet, the priest of God, brings forth the tribes, and the tribe of Benjamin is chosen. He brings forth the clans one by one, and the clan of Matri is chosen. And he brings forth the families within this clan, and the family of Kish is chosen. And then from the family of Kish, Saul is chosen as king. And Samuel wants to present their king, their first king, to the people. But there is a problem here. Saul is missing. He is not to be found. Where is he? Where is Saul? Did he not show up? The Lord knows where Saul is. And he tells the people that Saul has hidden himself among the stuff. And we see, and as we will see, Samuel knew that he had been chosen by God to be king, but he hid, hoping that he could avoid the task that God had given him. And I have a question here today for each one of us. You must answer to God for yourselves. And I asked the church, I asked you a question today, are you hiding among the stuff? As individuals and therefore together as a church, God has chosen us. We are here today because God has chosen us. You believe that today? Amen. He's accepted us. He is our Heavenly Father. But where are you? When God needs something done, where are you? When God needs things to be happening in your life and in the church, where are you? Are you hiding amongst the stuff? Am I hiding? Ask yourself, am I hiding among the stuff? Saul seems to be qualified for the position. God is calling you to do things. God thinks that you're qualified. And yet you yourself, you don't think that you are qualified. So therefore, you are making yourself unknown. We are first told about Saul in 1 Samuel 9. And he had a son. Who is this? The man Kish, whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. You see, this could mean that he had a kingly stature. He stood out above all the others, and God chose Saul. In 1 Samuel 9, when Samuel sees Saul, God tells him, this is the man who will govern my people. In 1 Samuel 10, we read that Samuel anoints Saul as the king over Israel. He anoints into this position. He's anointed into this position, but also empowered by God to carry out this task. God charged Saul. He changed his heart so that Saul was receptive to God's spirit working within him, and so that he could hear God speak to him. And we read that he joined a group of prophets as they were prophesying. Those who knew him could see that he was a different man. Saul had chosen and empowered by God to lead his people. But when this was to be made public, Saul hid himself. He hid among the stuff. You see, we also have been chosen. We have been empowered by God, folks, to serve him. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says, but ye are a chosen generation. You say, well, I'm not chosen. The scripture says otherwise. If you're here today and you are covered by that name, you are empowered with the Holy Ghost in your life. You are a chosen generation. It goes on, it says, in a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Each one of us has been chosen by God to be his disciple and to make known to others what he has done. You see, if you can say, well, I don't know what I should do. Or should I be a Sunday school teacher? Or should I be a bus route driver? What should I be? Well, you're chosen by God. Called you out of darkness into his marvelous light to make others known who he is, what he has done for you. You can always be a witness for God. Amen? You can always speak of the things of God. Amen? We have been anointed with the Holy Spirit and given the gifts to serve him, to proclaim his name and salvation to this community, to this city. So are we doing this? Are you doing what God has called you to do? Do people know that you are a Christian, and are you showing God's word and love to other people? Are you hiding amongst the stuff? You see, this passage of scripture in 2 Samuel 10, it's very intriguing, isn't it? That this is the time in Israel's history that God is going to give in to their desire for an earthly king. He's given in to them, and he has chosen Saul. And what is intriguing is this, that God chose Saul, he anointed Saul, and he had a work for Saul to do. But when the time came for Saul to step forward, when the time came for Saul to accept the calling of God on his life, the scripture says he was hiding among the stuff. Now, this word stuff is a catch-all phrase in our language, and it encompasses many things. It becomes one of those terms that we use when we can't find a more specific word to describe an object. Somebody asked you, well, what do you have in your home? Well, you could go down the list, or you could say a lot of stuff. You know, a bunch of stuff. Or we did a lot of stuff the other day. It's kind of a lazy way out. Instead of naming every little thing, you can say, we did a lot of stuff. Or I have so much stuff to do today. It's interesting that this term is used in the scripture to describe Saul's position when God called him to be king over Israel. The Bible doesn't say that he was hiding among his herd. The Bible doesn't tell us he was hiding in the crops. Or it doesn't say he was hiding in his house, or it doesn't say he's hiding between the people. It just implies that there was a lot of nameless, unimportant clutter among which this man, who would be king over Israel, had hidden himself, or busied himself, or surrounded himself with. The Hebrew word for this is keli, which means vessel, instrument, weapon, jewel, stuff, thing, armor, furniture, carriage, bag, and miscellaneous stuff. In other words, there is no definitive term for the word stuff. It means many different things. Webster's defines it, stuff as a person's portable property, effects, baggage, belongings, gear, immediate junk, luggage, movables. It goes on and on. It is a distinct term used in many different ways, but in most cases, it describes the things which are that we busy ourselves with on a daily basis. Stuff is used 16 times in the scripture, and in every case, it describes material possessions. It describes the things with which a person can become encumbered easily. Stuff, in of itself, is not inherently good or bad, because we all have stuff. Where stuff becomes a problem is when it hides us from God. And it keeps us from fulfilling our purpose for Him. In 1 Samuel 9:21, and Saul answered and said, "Am not I a Benjamite, of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me?" Saul felt here, in this scripture, he felt inadequate to be the king because he could not trust God fully. You see, even when he was to wait for Samuel to offer sacrifices later on after he became king, Saul went ahead and made the sacrifice himself when he felt it took too long, when he felt the prophet took too long. In other words, he didn't want to wait for his pastor. He had taken it upon himself because he didn't trust in God. He felt inadequate. Saul went ahead and made the sacrifice himself when he felt that Samuel was taking it to him. He wanted to start the battle before his men would grow weary of waiting. You see, when we rely, folks, when we rely on our strength rather than trust in God, we are hiding among the stuff of faithlessness, of not being willing to serve God because we fail to trust that His power is sufficient to enable us to serve Him. You see, the baggage, the stuff is part of many, even here at COP. We've all got our stuff, don't we? We've all got our issues. One of the sins here is a sin of self-negativism, of seeing ourselves as weak, like Saul, as unworthy. I'm just of the tribe of Benjamin, the smallest of Israel. We see ourselves as insignificant, of putting ourselves down, thinking that we can or will make a little difference in our community. Well, we can. But we must act in faith, folks, and we must trust that God will use us. He chose you for a reason. And understand this, it's not about our strength, it's about Him. Because in our weakness, He is made strong. Amen? We have been given authority to bring the good news by Jesus Christ. He's given us, each one of us here today, He's given us that authority. We must not look at our weaknesses, but we have to look at His strength. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Amen? You see, another part of the stuff for Saul was his fear of what people would think or say. And if I asked you to raise your hand today, if you're afraid a lot of times what people might think or say of you, we'd probably all raise our hand. Right? At least one time or another in your life. You see, folks, at one point, when you read in 1 Samuel 15, Saul is told by God to completely destroy the Amalekites and destroy their animals and everything. And after the battle, when Samuel heard the lowing of the cattle and the bleating of the sheep, he confronts Saul. He confronts him because Saul didn't obey God. Saul gives Samuel with a reason for his disobedience in 1 Samuel 15, verse 24. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed them. He obeyed their voice instead of God's voice. Throughout the reign of Saul, we see how he listens to what the people say, and then he often acts in response with little thought of what he was supposed to do. You see, it was listening to the people's praise of David. When David had killed the giant, Saul was listening to the praise of the people about David. And it made him jealous of David. In 1 Samuel 18, 7 through 9, and the women answered one another as they played and laid and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth. And the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s and to me have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. We also carry the stuff of fear of people and what they think, don't we? You see, it is also one of the sins that many Christians battle. Well, what will people think of me? I need to be like this person, or people won't think much of me. Saul was jealous because he heard people giving David praise, because he had just won a great battle. You see, if he would have let it alone, it probably would have just died down in no time. You see, doesn't the word tell us that God will lift us up? God will exalt us? We're not to exalt ourselves. And here, Saul was so worried about his reputation that he eyed David. He was jealous of him from that day on. We have some things we battle with this. We feel we need to be looked at and appraised more. We are afraid to serve at times because of what others will think. If we share the word, will people reject it? If I talk to somebody, will they get upset at me? Will they laugh at me? We're more worried about what they think than what we're supposed to be doing. If we share the word, will others reject us? If we pray out loud, will they sound good enough? Come on. People are watching us. And so we are very self-conscious. This has prevented us, or many people, from using our God-given gifts and being used by God. Folks, we must not fear man. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Saul was also inconsistent in his heart and his actions. You see, God had given him a heart that would hear the Lord. But he also followed the ways of his sinful heart. Twice when he was hunting down David, David could have killed Saul, but he did not do so. And each time Saul honored David and he said that he would not harm him, but soon he would be after him again. You see, he even consulted a psychic when God would not speak to him. So in a sense, Saul was too pragmatic. Do whatever seems to work was his motto. Whether it is God's way or whether it is his own way. Now, folks, I believe we often hide among the stuff, the same type of stuff as Saul did. You see, one day we want to serve God, but the next we allow other things to get in the way. That Sunday night service was awesome, and you leave there, and you're ready to just go win your neighborhood and tell all your coworkers about God. But that dies off by Tuesday. Come on. We live in both God's kingdom and we live in the world. And the cares of the world, things like our job, our money and our possessions, our relationships, they prevent us from being used by God. We are inconsistent in our desire to serve the Lord, aren't we? And one more item of stuff here today. There's the stuff of disobedience and religiosity. Saul, as we have seen, often disobeyed God, didn't he? And yet he was good at making sacrifices to God. Now, hear me what I just said. We see that he often disobeyed God. But yet, he was good at making sacrifices to God. You see, folks, he went through the motions of outer worship. At Gilgal, he offered a sacrifice to God, but was disobedient in doing this because, as we said, he was to have waited for Samuel. And again, when he failed to destroy the animals of the Amalekites, he said he wanted to use them for a sacrifice. You see, folks, it's not always in somebody jumping around and worshiping. You can fool some of the people some of the times, but you can't fool people all the time. You can't fool them all the time. You see, when I see people worshiping and praising and dancing and shouting and all that kind of stuff, I don't only look at that, I look at how consistent they are. Are they good givers? Are they faithful? And you go on down the line. I mean, come on, Saul was making it look good, wasn't he? Offering any sacrifices. Hey, we're going to keep all, why get rid of these animals? We can sacrifice them to God. Let's look at how God responded to his outward showing of sacrifice. In 1 Samuel 15:22, and Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices?" Or you could say it this way, "Hath the Lord great delight in you shouting and jumping around and praising him? As in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." God said, listen, unless you're obeying, unless you're heeding my word and listening to me and doing what's right when nobody's around, you can keep your worship. You can keep your dance. Come on. See, we also struggle with the sin of disobedience and religiosity. We often are content to worship God with our lips in service, but fail to obey his word. We We so easily fail to forget that God brought us together to reach out to the lost. Oh, I could shout in church and have a good time and go, man, I really like being apostolic. But I'm not going to tell anybody about him. Are we often just going through the tradition of church without having a living faith that leads us to live obedient lives? Folks, are we hiding among the stuff? See, we have mentioned some of the stuff we have. The failure to trust God, the fear of man, the self-negativism, the religiosity. But we may also carry the stuff of unforgiveness. And the failure to confess past sins. That's something a lot of us overlook, don't we? Because sometimes it's hard to forgive. Amen? Oh, it's easy to say you forgive. But we know that actions speak louder than words, don't they? We carry this stuff of unforgiveness and failure to confess past sins, of complacency and self-absorption. We have accumulated much stuff over the year. But I want to look at some stuff in the Scripture that kept people from fulfilling their calling. When you read about Gehazi, it was accepting Naaman's gold. Naaman wanted to bless the prophet for helping him to get healed. The prophet said no. And Gehazi says, when the prophet walked, hey, I'll take that. In 2 Kings 5:26, and he said unto him, went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? Gehazi. He wanted among the stuff of the gold. For the rich young ruler, he couldn't serve God because of his riches. In Luke 18:18-23, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good, save one that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Don't you see my worship? Don't you see my praise? All I've done this since my youth. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing, sell all thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. He was hiding amongst the stuff of riches. You see, stuff kept him from following Jesus and possibly becoming one of the apostles. Then there's Agrippa. For King Agrippa, it was his position. Acts 26:28, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You see, I'd like to follow this Jesus, he says, but there's some stuff in my way. I'd have to give up my position. And it might be me standing before the authorities instead of you, Paul. In other words, I'm not ready to give up all of this. Paul said, it's all dung to me. He said, Paul, if I give up this position, it might be me standing there in front of somebody. So, I just can't do it right now, Paul. Then there's Felix. Oh, Felix. For Felix, it was his busyness. And we're all busy. Right? Acts 24:24-25. And After certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusa, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith of Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." In other words, I would like to serve God, Paul. Right now, I'm too busy. It's just not convenient for me. Maybe some other time. See, Felix was hiding amongst the stuff of too busyness. It's not convenient. What's your excuse today? Are you too busy? What are you going to tell God if you stand before him? "Well, God, it wasn't convenient for me. It was just too busy. I didn't want to give up my position." "I was getting ready to do it, God, but, you know, this never seemed to be convenient. Never seemed to have the right time." Then there's Demas. Oh, Demas, it was this present world for him. Paul said he forsaked us by having loved this present world. You see, folks, whatever the reason, it was just stuff that kept people from following Jesus. It was just things like obligations, nameless, omnipotent, unimportant, non-external stuff. But then there's people in the Bible who ridded themselves of stuff to follow God's purpose. Anybody heard of Elisha? In 1 Kings 19:19-21, so he departed thence and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elisha passed by and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he rose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. You see, when the call of God came upon Elisha, he was working. But you know what he did, folks? Elisha destroyed the stuff that would take his time and his attention away from his calling. And we know how God blessed him. You see, folks, sometimes we just got to get rid of stuff to do God's will. Peter, in John 21, verse 15, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs." And Peter walked away from the nets, folks. He was a fisherman. He walked away from the nets that he had provided his income for so many years. And he followed the purpose of Christ in his life. And you know, Peter preached this very first apostolic message because he walked away from stuff that would keep him from serving his God. Oh, Abraham. Abraham left his country never to look back. In Hebrews 11:8, by faith Abraham was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. Obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. Hebrews 11:15, and truly, if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out, they might have had the opportunity to have returned. Abraham left everything, his family, his country, much of his wealth, to follow the leading of his God. And we know he became the father of faith, the father of Israel. You see, folks, when you leave the stuff, the blessings are enormous. Moses. Oh, Moses, he left the riches of Egypt. In Hebrews 11, 24 to 26, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing, this is awesome, rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Leave the stuff behind. What is the stuff in your life that's keeping you from fulfilling God's purpose? Is it social status? Is it a career advancement? Your work? Haggai 1, 5 through 6. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. God said, you can try to earn all you want, do what all you want, but it's never going to amount to anything. Is it stuff like embarrassment? Stuff like peer pressure. Mark 8, 38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. God said, look, if you're embarrassed of me, I'll be embarrassed of you. Don't let the stuff, embarrassment or peer pressure, keep you from living for God, from doing what he asked you to do. Is it stuff like bitterness, stuff like unforgiveness that's cluttering up your life and keeping you from fulfilling the will of God? Mark 11, 25 through 26, and when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. It's easy to say you forgive. I knew a man that had a problem with his father. And he often told me, I forgive him. I says, well, if you forgive somebody, you don't keep bringing it up. Come on. Because when he'd get upset about things, he'd bring up and complain about his dad. I said, when you forgive somebody, you don't keep bringing that past up. You may not be speaking it to somebody, but you keep thinking about it in your mind. And I said this to him. I said, if you was to walk down the sidewalk and you saw your father, could you hug his neck? And he couldn't answer me. You see, it's one thing somebody hug you, but do you go hug them? Do you really, really forgive them? Do you forget and you don't bring things up anymore? Because you truly forgave. See, forgiveness is not for them, it's for you. It's for us. Forgiveness is for me. I can't carry that around. When you can't forgive somebody, you're giving them free rent in your mind. And they're probably out there doing whatever they're doing, not even thinking about you, but you're constantly thinking about them. Do you live in the stuff of bitterness? Do you live in the stuff of unforgiveness? Is it cluttering up your life? Is it keeping you from doing the will of God? You see, when Joseph brought his brothers and his fathers into Egypt, I want you to hear what he told them. In Genesis 45, verse 19 through 20, verse 19 says, "Now thou art commanded, this do ye. Take your wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives." In other words, and for your, bring your father and come. I said, go get your wagons and bring your family. Then he says this, "As regard, also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours." God is here today to tell you this. Don't bring your stuff to me. Bring your willingness. Because all that is that I have is yours. Your stuff, it ain't no good. Leave it. But just come to me and I'll bless you. You see, what he is saying is your stuff is not worth bringing into this land. Just leave it at home. Because what's here is so much better than what you can ever imagine. You see, folks, the devil wants you to keep thinking and going hiding in your stuff. You got to take care of this situation. You got to do that. You can't let go of this. You can't forgive this person. You can't do that. You got your job. You got your career. It's more important. Because he knows he's going to rob you of the goodness that God wants to bless you with. Come on. You heard Brother Stevens here say today, "I don't know how anybody can do it without God." We heard what they're going through, but he'd rather be living for God than anything else. We are blessed. The Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. That means problems come to us all. All the time I was out here working, it rained on me, it snowed on me. I didn't have this spot walking and following me around where it wasn't. I sure wish. But Joseph was telling him, look, the stuff here is so much better than what you got. We talked this morning about why some people will be lost. Let me follow that up with this. There's nothing that is worth my losing my soul over. There is no stuff on earth that is valuable enough to cause me to miss heaven. And let me go a step further here today. There are some people here that God is calling to ministry to do greater to do greater things for him, to have a greater anointing, a greater ministry, but we are distracted by stuff. You're hiding among the stuff that's keeping you from fulfilling your purpose in Jesus Christ. Let's stand here. Let me ask you this today. Does anyone want to come to this altar and get rid of some stuff? Can you bring your stuff here and leave it at the altar today? Can you leave it here? Is there anybody that wants to get rid of some stuff today? Don't let it keep you from heaven. Don't let it keep you from doing the things of God. He's got so many things. He's got the blessings. As Joseph said, come on here. This stuff here is greater than what you have. God is telling you today, come on, let me bless you. Jesus.